This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know How is brought to you by DigitalOcean. Simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code KNOWHOW in the billing section to get your $10 credit. And by iFixit. Introducing the all-new ProTech Toolkit to give you the compact and complete toolkit for all things DIY. For $5 off your purchase of $10 or more, go to iFixit.com/TWiT and enter the code KNOWHOW at checkout. Today on KNOWHOW,
our take on your projects.
Welcome to Know How. It's the Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballas here.
I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to show you your projects through our eyes. That's right. We've been collecting a few projects from our Google Plus group of from people who have ideas or people who have thoughts that could lead to projects.
The thinkers, the tinkers.
Yeah, the people that we love.
Yeah.
Our folk.
The community.
And we've been trying to put together a few ideas to help you maybe think of how you could better do your project, how you might more efficiently use the parts that you've already bought. I think that's worthy of a geek episode.
I think so. But I do have to mention, you look a little dark, Padre.
No.
You got a little sun?
No, I've always been this dark.
You haven't gotten any more vitamin D?
Not since last week. No. We were right here.
Yeah, we were totally here the last 2 weeks.
We totally were.
Not in Hawaii. Scuba diving.
Norway.
And breaking their GoPros.
That was sad.
What happened? I need to hear about this story.
So I'm probably about 40 feet down near Hanama Bay.
Okay.
And I hear this... I'm like, that's never good. Because underwater, sound travels really well.
Right. People can actually hear you scream.
And so like, I'm looking around, and I see like bubbles. I'm like, oh, bubbles are not good. And I look down, and the GoPro housing is like flooding.
Oh, no.
The latch had cracked on the way down. And then I guess it like brushed against my vest just enough.
And it popped open?
It popped the
So it wasn't the pressure that broke the case open.
The latch was a bad latch.
It was a bad latch.
Like when it got up, it like split in half. The latch was cracked.
Okay. So. Well, 40 feet, that's pretty good pressure.
No, that thing's supposed to go down to like 100 feet.
I don't know. The only experience I've had is going like 10 feet in my grandma's pool and being like, whoa, this hurts my ears.
The sad part was the video doesn't even go to the point where it breaks.
Oh, no.
Because I was like, oh, maybe I at least got a good video where like, you start to see it.
The water filling in. No.
It doesn't record anything.
Well, okay. I had to know about that.
Sad.
Excuse me, Brian. Can you ask a question for another 30 seconds?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there another question?
Ask Padre some more questions right now. Just start asking.
Just start filling in time.
You know, Brian, this is probably not related to the TriCaster at all.
Well, you know, I got to ask you a question, Padre. So I'm just going to keep talking, which we're totally not adjusting your mic. But if someone were going to adjust your mic while doing the show, what kind of question should I ask?
I would ask about the projects that we're going to take a look at.
Oh, right. Because we've got LEDs. Mm-hmm. We've got a hot soldering iron.
Yes.
And then we have, like, the blowtorch, which I still really haven't figured out how to turn on, but
you know, Brian, insurance doesn't let you actually hold this.
I'm not covered for
that. Sorry, no, you have to be certified for low torturing.
Yeah, just like you're certified for scuba diving with a GoPro.
Exactly. No, specifically, we're looking at three projects today. One, dealing with LEDs, because LEDs are popular on the show.
That's the next project I want to do.
And we actually had an audience member who suggested something that I think is very admirable, and we're going to need your help, so keep watching. The second project we're going to take a look at is Wi-Fi. Specifically, someone wanted to know about creating a competent Wi-Fi system in his car, in his words, just because he can. So we're not talking about a regular hotspot. He actually wants to have a network in his car. And the third thing is, and this is useful for a person who has a long-distance run that he wants to have for his network between his house and his workshop 200 feet away, and he's worried about things like lightning and distance and crosstalk. So we're going to go over some solutions for that. So it's a well-rounded know-how.
All right. Well, let's get started.
Yeah. The first one is going to be a bit of feedback. Hey, Brian, What do we need to know about magic LEDs?
Magic LEDs. All right, this one comes from Michael. He asks, I bought some analog RGBW LED strips, and I found a Bluetooth controller for a RGBW really hard to find. I just got done watching episodes 201, and I want to know if I can do the same thing with them as with the digital ones, or it can only be done with the digital ones.
Okay, so I totally understand what he's saying here. He's looked at our WS2812 and 2811 projects, everything from the Christmas lights to like the LEDs that we put on quadcopters.
Yeah.
We like them because they're very easily addressable. You use an Arduino or a flight controller, which is really just an Arduino with more programming, to send bytes, a red byte, a blue byte, and a green byte that creates a color, right, and a color level. Very, very simple system, but we've used it to great effect because it's incredibly useful. One thing about those, WS2812s are typically more expensive than standard LEDs.
Why is that?
Well, because each one of them has logic inside. I mean, it's not just, like the old LED, you give it power and it turns on.
It just does,
That's all it does.
And depending on the power is how bright it gets.
That's how bright it gets. This one is actually a little controller. So every LED has a little integrated circuit behind it that receives data down the digital bus.
And then passes it down.
Passes it down and then it sets the color for its LED.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he wants to know if there's a way to take the cheaper LEDs and make it do what the more expensive LEDs do.
So I'm guessing there probably is a way, but you have to put like a little controller at each.
That that would be silly. I mean, putting a controller on every LED, it's now way more expensive.
Well, if you wanted to do like just a long strip of one color or something,
right? And so we're going to show some of the things that we can do with the older LEDs. So this is what they look like. You'll remember these the very first LED projects that we ever did with the dancing LEDs. It was is actually this exact same role. I think this is red. That one's probably blue. These are 12-volt logic. So which camera angle do we have out here, Alex?
You can use any.
Look at that. These are all 12-volt. So I give it 12 volts, and it lights up. In fact, I've got a little power source here
right now. Light it up.
Let's light it up. I think these are red. Yep, red.
Cool.
So there's nothing smart about them.
No.
I give it power, it turns on. That one over there, that is, I think, probably blue would be my guess. Yep, blue. And he wants to be able to control these with the same kind of precision that we control the WS2812 lights.
Right.
But as you can see, if I apply power, it lights up the entire strip.
Yeah.
There is no way for me to control each one individually. Unless I were to cut each one from every other one.
Don't
do that. That's not to say that they're impossible to control. It's not to say that you can't do cool things with them. This one is blue. This one is red. But you can get these LEDs like the WS2812s that have multiple colors inside the same LED so you could switch colors.
And then how do you do that, then?
Well, let me show you. This is a strip of white LEDs. And this is the old controller that we built for our arm-mounted cooler, remember?
Yeah, the one that almost killed me.
The one that almost killed you. We bring it back every once in a while because it has a very simple circuit. It has this. So right here, this is a controller that sends, the servo tester, a PWM value to this. So this right here is, it's there. This is just a speed controller, but it's not a speed controller like we have on our regular quadcopters. This is for a two-phase motor, which we can also use for lights because it just sends positive and negative. And depending on the position of this servo tester, it sends more or less voltage.
Okay, and then that controls the colors of the light.
And that controls the colors of the light. In this particular case, it would control the speed of the motor that's connected to it.
Cool.
But we are going to wire this up so that it can control the lights. Now, what does that mean? It means I can do this. So I'm going to take this existing circuit, and I'm going to hook it up to my string of white LEDs, like so. And I pre-soldered these connectors just to make this demo not so slow. And then we're going to take a battery. We're going to hook it up.
Cheater.
I am cheating a tiny bit. And it lets me do this. So as I increase this value.
Ooh. Nice.
But that's only, the problem is this is only one color. He has RGB LED. So it has three different colors that he can control. Now, how do you control them individually? I mean, I've only got on or off. It's not like I can pass digital data. The way that it does it is by having multiple buses. Here is a strip of the LEDs he's talking about. These are the RGB LEDs, and they're called RGB because they have red, blue, and green in each single one of these LEDs. So what's the closest? What's the action cam here, Alex? There we go. So if we look at the action cam, these LEDs here actually have three different buses on them. They have a bus for the red, a bus for the blue, and a bus for the green. So if I supply power to each one of those, it lights up a different part of the LED.
And then when you light them all up together, isn't it white?
It becomes white, yeah. Right. But I can apply different voltages to different lines to get different colors, because
right.
RGB makes up all light.
Right.
And so this way I could, you know, do a little bit of red, a little bit of green, and this tiny bit of blue, and suddenly I get like magenta.
Okay.
Right?
Cool.
Now here's how it works. Let's go ahead and use the same power source I have down here. Let's see if I can find where I put it. Here we go. So if I take this is just a little JST lead. Mm-hmm. If you could go to one of the close-up cameras, Alex. This is just a JST lead that's going to take it from a battery. The way that this works is I've got this white line, which is actually the ground. The white line, which is actually the positive. So that's 12-volt positive.
Okay.
And then I have a green lead, a red lead, and a blue lead. Each of those are the common lead, the ground lead for that particular color.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and actually let's do it from this.
Because there's no logic to this one.
There's totally logic. It's just, you know, it's not our logic. Let me see if I can get this. It's a little tight. All right. So I'm going to light up. Gosh, this is horrible. I'm going to light up the blue first, like so. Just give 12 volts, and there we go. So
blue.
Go to the overhead, Alex. Okay, blue. So now I've got blue, but I could do this. Let's go ahead and move it over one, and I can now light up
green.
The red.
Red.
And I could go over one, and I could light up the green.
Okay, so I think I see where you're going with this.
Right, so there's three different rails. I can apply different voltages to each one to do a combination of that color with the other two colors.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, he wants to know, is there a way for me to do the same kind of control with this that I do with the WS2812 lights? The answer is...
yes, maybe.
Kind of.
Yes, maybe, no.
Sort of. Not really, but we're going to show you an easy way to do it.
Okay.
So we're going to be using this. We're going to be using the standard two-phase speed controller. We're going to wire a battery connector to one side, and then we're going to wire a little lead on the other so that I can get it into the connector of the RGB strip.
Okay.
Yeah. The issue here, though, is you're going to need three of these, right?
Because you
need one for each color.
Right.
Which is going to add to cost, but in the end, because it is just PWM, it means that I could hook this up to an Arduino, and I can have the Arduino handle the color mixing for me.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're going to do the coding for that in a later episode, but let's just do this one really quickly.
Hmm.
This is why I have the super hot iron on the ground right now. Let's go ahead and wire up a JST connector. Again, this is what a JST connector looks like. Alex, there we go. A JST connector is going to look like this, and I've just got a positive side and a negative side. It's negative to negative, positive to positive.
Pretty simple.
Why don't you go ahead and you be responsible for running the action cam. Make sure that we get the shots that we need here.
Mm.
I'm going to strip. These have been pre-tinned, so I don't have to tin them. But I'm going to strip enough so that I can get the insulation back so I can solder these together. I've also brought a little bit of heat shrink tubing. Now, I said this once before, but I don't know if people took me seriously. Get yourself a pack of this. I have seen some of our project pictures coming back from the community, and there are a lot of people who are just wrapping with electrical tape.
Yeah, not a good call.
That works temporarily.
Yeah.
But electrical tape dries up, it cracks and falls off, and then you get shorts. Heat shrink tubing is a fantastic way to make sure that you can protect all of the solder joints that you make, and it's relatively cheap if you buy it in bulk. I have a bunch of strips just sitting in my lab, and I cut them as necessary.
All various sizes.
Various sizes and colors and, you know, all the fun stuff.
So
what
pretty.
I'm going to do, I'm going to cut myself some red and some black here just so that I have some choices. There we go. So that's my little heat shrink protection. I'm going to run it over the cable first. This is another thing that I see a lot with novices.
Hmm.
They'll solder.
And then try and put the heat sink on?
Yeah, you need the heat shrink before because you've soldered it shut.
I've totally never done that before.
Yeah, totally. Probably never done. Everyone's done. I've done that.
Yeah,
I still do that every once in a while. I'm like tired. I'm like...
I know, because I just want to get straight to soldering.
Right. Now, if we look really closely at this, there is... Oh, gosh, the focus is all... Hello.
Hi. Hello.
So there is a battery side, and then there is a motor side. So I'm going to hook up this JST connector to the battery side of the connection.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Actually, I need to strip a little...
Because that's the side the power will be coming from.
Right. I need power in. Now, if I was going to be doing this for real, I would need three of these, and I would need three connections to power. So I would probably make some sort of power distribution harness just like we have when we've done quadcopter projects.
Oh, and then you just connect to one power source.
Right, right.
I see.
And this is going to be a super jank soldering job. Again, Smitty, I'm sorry.
We're doing this live, Padre.
We're doing this live, and I didn't strip enough. So there's that. Don't say it.
Not saying anything. Just thinking loudly.
All right, here we go.
Do, 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 do. We need montage music.
Montage.
We need a better shot on the action cam, Brian.
Well, I can't zoom. I don't know where the controls are on this action cam.
Go handheld.
He's going in.
Don't ever solder like this. This is a horrible, horrible job.
You mean with someone standing over you with a camera?
Yeah, I'm not proud of that. In fact,
oh my, geez.
That's bad. Wow.
But that's like the Quasimodo of soldering right there.
That's, this is a temporary connection. So.
I think I just heard it whisper to me, kill me, kill me.
Okay, folks, if your connection looks like that, redo it.
Cry a little.
You've done a bad job and you should be ashamed.
But we don't have time to cry.
But we're not going to cry because instead we're just going to push on because that's the kind of people we are, Brian.
That's true. We're doing it all for the know-it-alls.
We're doing it for the love. And also to show you that even people who have been doing this for a long time sometimes do work that they're not proud of.
That's all right. There's a lot of pressure right now.
No, not really.
No. There is. I was trying to make you feel better.
There's totally no pressure. It's like we're so unpressured. It's amazing.
You seem so relaxed after your vacation.
I was working. Brian, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I mean working.
I was totally,
on the beach.
Hey.
Working on your tan.
You know, the beach needs blessings, too.
That's true.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's see. I'll try with this camera.
You had one job, Brian.
Well, is this a different camera?
I bring in a different camera every week just to mess with you. Okay, so that one's not as crap, but it is still pretty crap. It's pretty crap.
But think if you did it again and again, you would do so much better.
Okay, yeah, and remember, I would have to do this. I would have to do this three times because I've got three different colors.
And, right.
And actually, I should...
Is the heat shrink tubing going to fit over that solder?
Probably not. That's something else to check.
Okay.
But you know what? Oh, what? Okay, the other thing is I use this. You shouldn't. You should get a heat gun. But I'm lazy, and this is the only tool I have in my inventory. When it starts smoking, it's done.
You've gone too far.
Yeah.
Another positive benefit of heat shrink is that it can hide your soldering.
See? I mean, look at that. Now we look kind of semi-professional.
Does it?
If you go to a camera that shows this. There. Huh? No, it still looks pretty crap. it's pretty crap. Okay, so now what I've got is I've got a way to get power into the circuit. I need a way to get power out of the circuit into the string.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and bust up these leads. I've got some jumpers here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to cut off here, and then I'm going to solder these to that so that I have a way to get the power into the...
You really didn't make this easy on yourself,
did
you?
Yeah, we're like ghetto. We're totally ghetto. I was going to do this last night, but then there was a part of me going, you know what, do this live.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to do live.
Actually, you know, one of the comments that we got, the last time we did a project like this live, there were a few people who emailed me who said, can you do more of that because it makes me feel better? No, I'm serious. And I'm serious about this because...
It makes me feel better, too.
Well, when they see the montage... I only put in like the finished shot, and people are like, "Oh gosh, that looks." He did it so easily.
Right.
So it's not. You know, you mess up a lot.
The video only took him 5 minutes, so it must have taken him like 20 seconds
to do
all that soldering.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa, it was amazing. But no, yeah, I mess up just like everybody else. I have to resolder things because I've soldered them poorly. I cut wires to the wrong lengths because I don't do the smart thing and measure twice and cut once.
It's okay. I'm going to fix all of this in editing.
No, you're not.
No.
You're not. Stop. Just don't lie to me, okay? I can't take a lie from you, Brian.
I really do want, like, a project box or something where we've put something, a mass of something together, and we put it in the box, and then we're like, okay, and then a little bit, it'll be done. And then we cut, and I pull it out of the box, and it's perfect.
It's the cooking montage, right?
Exactly.
And that's why, on cooking shows, they always have the one that they're working on, and then there's one that's done.
It's like, yeah, because they're like, this turkey would normally take 20 hours to cook, but let me take this one out of the oven, and look, it's perfect.
I've seen a few of those for, like, DIY projects where someone... Mm-hmm. says, okay, in just a few minutes, it'll be done. And it's like, no, I saw it wouldn't work. So, yeah. It's like, at least, you know, it's fine. Show me the montage to save me time when I'm watching. But don't do it in a way that is going to, like, release the blue smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
I have low standards.
Well, hey, the ones that I always remember were, like, the Pimp My Ride shows. Where, like, look at this terrible car we have.
And we just threw some new wheels on, and the car magically fixed itself.
Look at this new paint job it got in, like, 2 seconds.
By the way, I was going to do a DIY series on painting and fiberglassing.
That's tough, right?
It's a lot harder than that.
Yeah.
I have so much respect for people who can do that.
Oh, man.
Because, I mean, the process itself is relatively simple, mm-hmm. but it takes patience.
Oh, that's the thing I do not have when I'm trying to spray paint a project. It's like the first coat is great, and then as I go along, I keep getting worse and worse at it.
Right, right. Yeah, that first coat, you're like, oh, this ain't so hard. And then you add the second one, like, oh, it's lumpy.
Oops.
Is it supposed to look like that?
No.
No.
Your spray painting is bad, and you should feel bad.
No. That was sad. But, by the way, Hawaii?
Yeah?
It's nice.
If anyone's not following Padre on Twitter, at PadreSJ, you should, just to see the photos of the beaches that you're visiting.
And I didn't show all the beaches.
I'm sure you didn't.
I will say there was one
secret beach.
Very nice resort that maybe someone figured out that they had all their security protocols online and was able to reprogram a Stripe card to get in.
Nice. Over the Wi-Fi or something? Or the details later.
Details. It was nice. It was really nice. It was funny, too, because I was able to, I found out what color bands they use on the beaches, because that's how they identify you.
Right, right.
And
so you just found some bands?
Just found some bands.
Nice. I don't know.
Don't do that, folks. That's really dishonest.
What I learned, were you on? Were you on the Big Island?
No, I was on Oahu.
Okay.
There's a lot of beautiful spots of Oahu if you know where to look. It's not, I mean, a lot of people look at it and go, well, it's so developed. Mm-hmm. It can be nice.
Well, I'm just thinking, on Kauai, it seemed like everyone was pretty laid back. Like, it didn't really matter if you walked onto one of the resort beaches and stuff.
And normally the staff is laid back until a guest complains.
Oh, and then they...
I don't think these people are unearthed here. And then I go, you're right.
You're right.
All right.
Okay, so we've got our soldering done.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, we have to do this one.
Oh.
Is it okay if I finish this one? Is that acceptable, Brian?
I guess.
All right.
So what are you doing now? You're tinning?
Well, no, I'm soldering the second one. So I did the positive. This is the negative.
Okay. Cool.
All right.
Those look a lot better. See, by the time you get to your fourth soldering.
Well, you know, Well, going on vacation, you kind of lose all the skills that you might have developed.
That's why you got to bring your soldering kit with you on vacation. Yeah.
This was the first time I did not bring any work with me.
That's good.
That's new for me. I always think, you know, I'm going to get bored. I should bring something. This time, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about maybe you were going to bring maybe one of your quadcopters. And then you decided,
nah, yeah, I totally didn't. And the funny part is, so I was at Hanama Bay, and someone brought their quadcopter. And
did
like
you watch them crash it?
No, but then the lifeguards came over and said, hey, bro, you can't fly that here.
Oh, you can't?
Like, yeah.
Is that because...
It's a national park.
Ah, right, right, right.
Yeah.
I got to
also,
with...
that's just mean.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sacred place. All right, so here's what we got. On one side, I've got a battery lead. On the other side, I've got leads that will allow me to plug it into the RGB. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, we would need three of these.
Right.
And we also need something that will send a PWM value.
Right.
Right, because this thing is, it takes in a PWM value, and then that determines how much voltage it's sending.
Exactly.
So what we've got is our good friend, the servo tester. You remember this thing?
Hey, servo.
Hi, yeah, little servo tester. This is the device that sends a PWM value. It has a little potentiometer, mm-hmm. and it just... It allows me to send a mix with this
right
down the line. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I need this. This has to have its own battery mm-hmm. because the servo tester needs power. And let me go and disconnect the soldering iron because I would really hate to burn myself.
Or your co-host.
Or my... Well, I would really hate to burn
myself.
All
right, let's be honest. Yeah.
I mean, that would be kind of funny. But no, it smells like chicken. Let's go ahead and do this one. Where'd the other battery go?
We had one. There's the big battery right there.
No.
Is there another battery?
Small battery?
It's over here.
Oh, there we go.
Ha!
Aha! Okay.
I knew I could help.
So we're going to go ahead and take this. We're going to plug this into the servo tester. Okay. Like so. Where's that? Positive, negative signal. All right.
Okay.
Actually, I don't need this UBEC because I need that for the second product. And Ooh. Then I'm going to take this. I'm going to plug this into... here, so I've got, again, I've got the positive lead here, and then these are the ground leads. If I want
the color
green, I apply the ground lead to green. If I want red, I apply it to red. If I want blue, I apply it to blue. So let's give this power. Actually, let's go on this side, because I damaged that side. I'm a bad person. And
gotta be gentle with these LEDs.
Let's show blue. Okay, so that's blue. Let's apply power.
Cool. And see the servo light up. Nice.
Go. And go ahead and bring the lights down a little bit, Alex.
Ooh. Okay. See? Yeah, nice.
So I can pulse the blue. Let's go ahead and move it over to red. Whoa. Right?
There's something about LEDs that just get mesmerized.
Yeah, and then green. Oh, and by the way, if I were to plug this into the white, I would create a short circuit and most certainly cause a fire. So let's not do that.
All right. Let's not make that mistake. Okay.
So, again, this project's actually pretty simple. If I got three of these, and these were cheap. These were like $5 each, these little ESCs.
Mm-hmm.
I could potentially recreate all of the color effects that I see on the WS2812 strip. The difference, though, is it would be the entire strip. I have no ability to control individual LEDs, only the entire strip.
Okay. That's cool.
Now, before we go, because it's who we are, I'm going to show you a much easier way to do it than all the soldering that we just did. So I'm going to take this, I'm going to put it to the side, and I'm going to show you this. This is a little something that I got from Ready to Fly Quads, but you can find this anywhere. This is a controller. So this controller will take a PWM value, and it's a little Arduino,
mm-hmm.
and this will control the RGB strip for me. Rather than me having to solder separate ESCs to each one.
That's
it's
cool.
The exact same process. It's just like all three of the ESCs are in one.
Okay.
All right, so let's go ahead and hook this up. So just like the other one, you'll notice I have
white ground.
I have a green, blue, red, and blue.
Right, for the colors.
For the colors. So let's go hook that up. Let's make sure that this is not shorting out at all because this is not a very well-protected strip.
No.
Let's throw that down there. Yeah, that's... That's open voltage.
So
be careful with that.
So
don't die.
Don't touch all of it.
Don't die.
Don't cross the streams.
That would be bad. That's not cross streams.
Is this just like a really cheap strip or something?
No,
or?
It's not cheap. It's just it's cheap. No.
it's really cheap. Well, it looks like you tried to take the tape off and then, or is it just falling off?
The BEC I had here. Where'd that thing go?
This.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Did you steal my BEC?
Maybe.
Oh, man, why would you do that? I thought we were bros, bro.
Because I like it.
Okay, so I'm going to apply power here. Like so. And I'm going to apply power here so that the lights get power.
Okay.
And so this is exactly the same, but you'll see the controller is actually controlling the lights. And what I can do is every time I flick it, I can change the pattern.
Okay. And you program that into the little
right.
Controller?
So I program certain patterns on this, but again, it can only control the entire strip.
Right.
And what's really happening? It's like I have an on-off switch, and every time mm-hmm. I go on and off, it switches to
the next pattern. Okay.
Right. And we've done this kind of project with the WS2812 LEDs. The only difference is this is only controlling one thing at a time. It's not controlling individual LEDs.
Huh.
So I could use this to move between colors, just like it's doing right now. And I could use this to cheaply use the WS2812 LEDs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this instead of the WS2812 LEDs. But again, we like more granular control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am special as asking, is each LED controllable separately? And no.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah. So. When we come back, I'm actually going to show you a little bit of WS2812 magic, because we did get another request from the same person, and it is a very worthwhile project, so I think we should take a look at it.
Just one question.
Yeah.
Would you be saving a lot of money by not going with the...
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds like you're going to be saving a lot of money, because you can get a strip of the standard dumb LEDs, like 500 of these for $10. And 150 of the WS2812 LEDs is going to cost you like $20 to $30. So it is more expensive, but when you consider the amount of work you have to put into it and the finished product, it's if you're going to do controllable LEDs, it's better to get the WS2812s.
Okay.
Yeah. But before we move on to that, let's go ahead and take a break, to thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How. Hey, Brian.
Yo.
You know what I like?
What's that?
I like the ability to get the word out.
The word?
The word.
It's not the bird, right?
No, not the bird. In fact, the word is your project. It's your portfolio. It's the thing that you need to get on the internet, be it a new server, be it a new website, Minecraft server, perhaps. Mm. There are many different ways for you to do that. You could buy your own hardware. You could buy your own NOC. You could buy your own ISP. You could buy a space inside of a colo facility in order for you to get your own personal dedicated hardware. Or you could just go with DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean is the best way to get your project, your server, your blog, whatever, up and running immediately. It's used by professionals around the world, including by Aaron Newcomb and myself. It's a way for you to take that thing that you need to get onto the internet and put it into what they call a droplet. It's a container, a way to have a self-contained service that can be run on 1, 2, 1,000, 1,000,000 CPUs across data centers across the world. DigitalOcean is used by over 600,000 developers who can deploy and configure their droplets via a streamlined control panel or a simple API. You get to choose your OS, which I love. Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, CoreOS, and FreeBSD. Also, you can select from one of the many pre-configured one-click installs like Drupal, Docker, and Node.js. Be up and running in just minutes. You can build the exact infrastructure that you want and you need, and you get root access to servers running 100% SSDs in state-of-the-art data centers around the world. DigitalOcean is highly scalable to meet the demands of a rapidly growing application or business. Now, what do I mean by that? It means that you could start with just, a few CPU cycles, an hour or so of time to test your latest build, your latest server, your latest deployment. And when it's ready, a simple slide of a control panel and boom, you're available around the world. You can also use advanced features like floating IPs for high availability, private networking, and automated deployments via APIs. They've got an extremely active community, which is one of the ways that I determine, personally, if it's a product that I want to use. If the users come back and they help new users with projects, if they come back and they answer your questions, it means that they're invested. And if they're invested, it's just that much better. It's so easy to get started with DigitalOcean that you can deploy an SSD cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. There really is no reason for you not to try DigitalOcean, except for one, maybe you're cheap. And if so, let me get rid of that. Because DigitalOcean has incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing, with servers starting at just $5 per month. There's also hourly pricing available, starting at less than a penny per hour. But we're going to make it so that you can get started today and deploy your own SSD cloud server for free. That's right, nothing, gratis. Visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. Once you confirm your email and account information, go to the billing section and enter the promo code KNOWHOW for a free $10 credit. That's plenty to get started and explore what DigitalOcean can do for you. That's DigitalOcean.com, DigitalOcean.com. And once you sign up, enter the code KNOWHOW, KNOWHOW, in the billing section to get your $10 credit for free. DigitalOcean, see what they can do for you. And we thank them for their support of KNOWHOW. Hey, Brian.
What's up?
You want to see the way that I would do a project?
Yes.
Well, in that case, let's go ahead and move on to the next bit of feedback from the same person who's asking pretty much about the same project.
All right. So yeah, Michael asks again, can someone tell me how you think this is done? The guy wants to charge me $350 US, and I think it can be done cheaper. I just need someone to do the soldering since I don't know how, and I'm scared I would mess things up. Oh, you shouldn't fear that. We mess things up all the time.
Yeah, we just showed you a bunch of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, he's got a very good point. Alex, if you go and play the video that's on that page, on that question, because he has a very specific use. This is the Cheer Glow digital wheelchair. And as you can see, it's just a strip of LEDs that they're controlling. Now, we just showed you how to do that. You could build your own using three ESCs or using this controller that controls all three.
Right.
And this part you cannot do, not with the LED strip that he says he has, because he has the standard RGB. You'll notice that some of the LEDs are changing individually, right?
Right, as they go down the line,
which means it's not just a strip. It means that it's that, WS2812.
Yeah, each one has logic.
Yeah, yeah. $350, I mean, it depends on how much you value your labor, because I'm looking at this, and the price for all the parts is probably under $50. Well, actually, probably way less than $50.
So that's a little bit of a margin.
It's a markup. But, I mean, what you have there is you have a strip of WS2812 LEDs, and it really doesn't matter how many or how few, because it's all programmed the same way, right?
Right.
You just give it enough power. There's some sort of power supply, both to the controller and to the LEDs, which are all 5 volt. It is 5 volt, which I like, because it's a lower voltage. If you're going to be wiring it up to your wheelchair, you'd want that. You'd also want LEDs that are weatherproofed in some way.
Right.
Because you don't want a little moisture to cause
a
short. So the question is, can we build something like this for a lot less money? And this is the part where I said we're going to be leaning on the know-it-alls. Specifically, he is a man in a wheelchair, and he needs help with the soldering. So I wondered, can I develop a project where he could just buy the strip and buy the controller, and another know-it-all out there might be able to solder, pre-solder the harness, so all he has to do is plug it in?
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
And the answer is yes, we can do that. All right, so let's take a look at what we've got here. What we have is, this is a strip of WS2812 LEDs.
I've got waterproofing on them?
Yeah, so this is all the waterproofing. This is about 150 LEDs. It cost on eBay, I think it was $26.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. And actually, these are quite good. This is not just like sealant on the top. This is a silicone grommet.
Right. So you could put these like outside and stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then you can safely apply these to the bottom of a wheelchair. And you wouldn't want to put pressure on them. So, I mean, don't put them on the outside of the wheels.
But you wouldn't have much traction, I don't think.
Exactly. But they are well protected. Now, we've got this. This is the controller that I made for our WS2812 Christmas lights.
Right.
Right?
So it's just a little Arduino inside a little waterproof case.
Precisely. And again, this is perfect for a wheelchair because it would allow you to, if we expanded this a little bit, it could also fit the battery.
Oh, right.
So you could have all your electronics in one place that's also weatherproofed. And this is a relatively bulletproof solution.
Cool.
The nice thing about this is we've already given you the programming to control the WS2812 lights. It's just the 100 lines demo that we've been expanding upon as we go.
Right.
This one doesn't have any potentiometer, so I'm not going to be able to switch my patterns. In fact, I don't really want that. I want to make this really, really simple for him. So if I apply power, you'll see that. Go ahead and go to the overhead and then drop the lights down a little bit. This controller is now controlling all of these LEDs. It's also powering it from this battery, and it's allowing it to change the animations per LED. You can see how it's starting to scroll through the animation patterns that I programmed into it. Now, this is the exact same thing that we saw on the Cheer Glow. The difference is, this is, what, $26? This probably costs a total of $10. This is a $4 battery.
Right.
So far less expensive. And if the know-it-all commuters, the Kitas, are willing to help you create the wiring harness, you could do this with no soldering.
Okay, yeah. No, right. That's awesome.
Yeah, kind of cool. Let me show you how we're going to do it. This way. Go ahead and bring the lights back up, and then go to the action cam. When we've been using this, we've been using these to power it.
Right.
So these are the power ones. And this is the what I've been using for the digital data. This is how you get the information from the Arduino into the strip so that it knows what colors to give each LED.
Right.
He doesn't want to solder. He can't solder. So what I'm doing is I've just gone ahead and shrink these off because we're not going to be using it. In fact, we're going to be using everything on what I've been using as a digital input. Reason why we can do this is because it's only going to be one strip. We've always built our projects so that you could expand them and you'd want to use a separate power supply.
Okay.
But we're not going to do that for this. For 150 LEDs, you can run it off of a single power source.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So I'm going to take this out. That was just a way for me to get it. This is a standard connector. You're going to find this on almost every single strip of WS2812 LEDs that you're going to find on eBay. It's a three-position switch. I've got white, which is ground. I've got red, which is my 5 volts. And I've got green, which is my digital.
Okay.
Right? I was able to, as you notice, so I'm able to power this entire thing just using this connector. I'm not using those other power leads at all in any way, shape, or form. So if someone could create him a harness to use this connector, he could drive that entire strip just with that one harness.
Nice. And no soldering.
No soldering. And the way we're going to do it is by using this.
So connector.
This comes, you can buy this. This is a standard connector. Again, I found this one on eBay for about 30 cents. This has all of the connections I need if I plug it in like that. See? There we go. So perfect. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have the ability to put power here, ground here.
Mm-hmm. And then data.
And my data pin there. If someone creates this harness for him and perhaps combines it with an Arduino, he can then just plug it into any strip that he buys off of eBay and it will control the strip.
Ah, cool.
Right? So let's, actually, I'm going to save that.
What?
I think this is what we call a tease.
Is that what we do in showbiz?
We do it in showbiz. We're going to tease. I'm actually going to create this into a full project because this is worthwhile. You know,
yeah.
He's in a wheelchair. He wants to pimp it out. He wants to represent his geek side.
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to do that? So in the next episode after we get back from NEB, we're actually going to do a full-length episode on this because I want to show someone out there how to create a harness for him.
Yeah.
And it won't just help him. It'll help anyone who wants to play with WS2812s.
Maybe I could do that with my bicycle. I've been wanting to put LEDs on my bicycle, and I would need waterproof ones for that.
No, whop! No, I'm just kidding. You don't get mine.
Oh.
All right. Coming up, we're going to help someone with their Wi-Fi car problem. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank the second sponsor of Know How.
One of my favorite sponsors.
One of my all-time favorite sponsors. Because Brian and I, you know, we take things apart a lot, don't we?
Pretty constantly. Putting them back together is another
optional
story. But I think this is one of the tool sets that I use, like, every other day. I just used it yesterday on a project.
Yeah. Of course, we're talking about iFixit. Now, iFixit and their new ProTech toolkit. It's a way to get all the tools, all the tips, all the little doodads and gadgets that you need to be the best maker DIYer that you can be. Now, in this new ProTech toolkit, you're going to find everything that you found in the old ProTech toolkit, but it has a few features that both of us really like. For example, the magnetic base.
Yes.
So it holds all the bits in place. Mm-hmm. It has the ability to be removed from a roll very easily. It's actually a smaller roll. And again, all the spudgers, the metal spudgers, the plastic spudgers, the tweezers, the anti-stat strap, that you need to make sure that you do it safely. Now, this thing is gorgeous, completely reimagined design, but just as rugged, and I'd say more portable than before. It's easier to use and includes a new 64-bit driver kit, which replaces the former 54-bit driver kit. They listened to their customers who said, this is great, but we need this specialty bit and this specialty bit. And that's what iFixit put in there. It's, again, a more durable case, and that magnet really does make it easier for you to stack your bits. And it encourages you to put them back. Because, Brian, both of us know the pain of taking a bit out and then forgetting where you put it, and now you've got an empty bit.
Someone else in the basement taking the kit and taking them all out of their little holders.
But we don't want to talk about Brick behind his back. Now, more bits means fewer repairs, means easier repairs, and their precision ESD-safe tweezers means that you're not going to destroy things while you're repairing them. They've also included a suction cup for easy screen removal, and again, those spudgers, which allow you to get into cases without really marring the edges. And this has been invaluable. Use the right tool for the right job. Of course, with iFixit, it's not just about the tools. It's also about the repair guides. They've got thousands upon thousands of DIY repair guides to guide you through fixing your Xbox or your laptop or your camera. Folks, if you're not using iFixit, you're just trying too hard. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to try iFixit's all new ProTech toolkit. It's backed by their lifetime warranty, and we don't want you to buy it because we're telling you to buy it. We want you to buy it because it is awesome, because we use it every day here on Know How. Grab yourself an all new ProTech toolkit and get going on your next fix, hack, or build. Just head over to ifixit.com/twit. That's ifixit.com/twit and use the code KNOWHOW at checkout to save $5 on your purchase of $10 or more. Again, that's ifixit.com/twit. And we thank iFixit for their support of Know How. Hey, Brian, you want to help someone with their Wi-Fi?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So we've got a question here, an interesting question from a man who just wants to do something cuz.
And this one comes from a Brian. Brian with an I, though. I am looking to add mobile Wi-Fi to my vehicle. I have looked at the Cradlepoint devices and like the product, but not the price. Anyone got ideas on hardware and mobile plans? I would like an unlimited data plan and would also like the ability to hardwire some devices into the switch.
Okay,
it's getting kind of serious.
We've covered some of this before,
right?
And he mentioned Cradlepoint and then said Cradlepoint is a little costly. And yes, Cradlepoint is a little bit costly, but there's a reason for that. Hey, Alex, let's go ahead and show them what Cradlepoint did for Twit.
I'm Father Robert Ballester, the digital Jesuit, here at CES 2014, Showstoppers for Twit TV. I'm standing with Ken Hosak, the Vice President of Business Development for Cradlepoint. Ken, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Robert.
Now, you've got a hatchet, but there's a good reason why you have a hatchet, and it doesn't have to do with anything of violence against people. It's to show you why redundant external paths are important. In other words, multiple WANs. If you run a small business, a home business, or even a small branch, but with a large business, you need to have multiple paths to the outside. If your business is on the internet and you get disconnected, what are you? You're dead. Ken, tell me what Cradlepoint does to guarantee that we always stay connected.
We're very good at 4G LTE, and so we have network equipment that uses the wireless internet from Verizon, AT&T as a failover for wired internet like cable and DSL or T1 lines. And so if it goes out, we're able to cut over. And so many businesses use cloud-based apps. Small businesses use Google apps. Large businesses use their own apps. We keep it going. You need that network access. It's your Achilles heel.
There are a lot of products that provide multiple WAN functionality, but one of the things I've noticed is they're not always seamless in how they switch over. In fact, one of the products that I bench tested last year took a full 3 minutes before I started getting a regular flow of traffic. You can't have that. I mean, especially if your business is online, you cannot lose connectivity. Now, could you show me in, I don't know, say a creative way, what it looks like when you lose your connection?
Well, typically the first thing you see is a wired internet connection that breaks.
Just like that, yes.
And then the second thing that happens if you don't have a Cradlepoint solution is you have no internet access. If you have Cradlepoint, I just flipped over, in this case, to Verizon 4G LTE, didn't even notice that I lost the internet.
Now, if they want to find out more about Cradlepoint, about your solutions, about what you could maybe do for them, where should they go?
Google Ken the X, or you can go to cradlepoint.com, and we'd be happy to talk about it.
Ken, thank you very much for talking to us. Thank you for showing off your tech, and thank you for CES 2014.
Thank you.
Yeah, now that is possibly one of the best solutions you can get out there. But as Brian mentioned, it is costly.
Yeah.
I've been using these for years. This is actually an old Cradlepoint that I got way back when. Go ahead and give them the side shot here. This was a super simple device. All it does is it takes any sort of USB dongle. So on this one, I was actually using, do you remember, what was it? WiMAX. So this was using the old clear WiMAX device. It was super, super fast on the Hawaiian Islands. And it allowed me to just plug it in. Like, for example, I'm going to use it with a little right angle thing.
Boop.
And instant hotspot.
Bam. Done.
Bam. I like this. Unfortunately, WiMAX no longer works. But I could plug in like a Verizon dongle or a T-Mobile, AT&T, whatever, and get myself connectivity. Well, he specifically said he would like to expand it. He wants it to be something that's permanent. When they sold these things, Wi-Fi hotspots weren't commonly available on your phone. So this made sense. Now everyone can start up a hotspot just by clicking an icon on their smartphone, and then they're good to go.
Right.
But if you wanted something that was going to live in the car, there is another alternative. You don't have to go with just Cradlepoint. And we did have this on the show before. This is from Opengear. Go ahead and go to the overhead shot here, Alex. This is not designed to be what he wants it to be, but it works really well for it. I was able to get this one off of eBay for something like $150. And what it is, it's a serial console port. This is designed to be put someplace so that I can access it remotely. It gives me a couple of serial. But what it also has, it has a SIM slot. So this opens up. It allows me to put SIMs from AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint, basically CDMA, GSM, anywhere I want to go. And then I can also do this. This is a LAN port. This is a standard Ethernet port. So I can plug something into here and get wired connectivity off of it, along with sending out a Wi-Fi hotspot. So, again, it's not what it was designed to do.
But you could.
But you could do it this way. He also asked about plans. If you were looking to not spend that much money, what I would suggest is you go with something like T-Mobile. $30, you can get 5 gigabytes a month, if you can find it. It's right. very difficult to find that plan.
Didn't you go to Walmart or something? I did.
And then I was actually told that they no longer do that plan, but then I was able to get that plan yesterday. So
weird.
You just have to keep bugging them until they do it.
Okay. Yeah, that seems like the best option, though.
Your best option. You pay $30 a month, 5 gigabytes of high-speed data, and if you run out of the 5 gigabytes, it just switches down to 2G. So it's slower, but it will still work. The other cool thing, and this is what I'm thinking he really wants, is because it's in your car and it will always be on, it means you could potentially do things like wire up the OD, the onboard data port, so you have access to it remotely. I mean, it would be kind of cool for you to check on how your car is doing.
Yeah, as long as it was you and not anyone else.
Yeah. Not saying.
Cool.
Yeah. So are there options? Yes. If you wanted to go even less expensive, look at Netgear, look at D-Link. They all offer travel routers, which can be plugged into the 12-volt accessory port on your car. And they all have USB ports so that you can hook up your favorite dongle. I'm not a big fan of those, though, because they're not enterprise-grade. And if it's going to be on all the time, you kind of want enterprise-grade.
Right.
And also, being 12-volt devices, things pop off. They vibrate loose.
Yeah.
Not the best solution out there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's some ideas there.
Hey, Brian, guess what?
What's that?
I lied.
What?
I said that we were going to get to the networking problem. Someone had a barn that was far away from their house.
Right.
We're not going to have time to do that.
Wait. Did Alex give you the signal?
He did.
Wrap it up, Padre?
Yeah. Well, he is the director. And also, we're going to tease that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I'm okay with that.
How about that?
Yeah.
Folks, I know that this has been a lot of information, but we're going to put everything in the show notes. If you want links to where you're going to get the RGB LEDs or the controller that we used or the Arduino or the strip of WS2812 lights, you can find them in our show notes. And where are those, Brian?
At twit.tv/KH. And not only will you find the show notes, but you'll find links to subscribe or download the version of your choice, depending on your bandwidth. As you can see, we have handy little photos from each episode.
This one was fun. The PC Gaming Extravaganza.
Yeah, that was... we had Ryan Shroud on that episode. That was cool.
You know, it was nice having someone on the show who actually knows what he's talking about.
Right? For once?
It's like, weird. I don't know what we're going to do now. Make things up.
Maybe have Ryan back on the show again?
Don't forget that you can also get us in our community. In fact, this entire episode was pulled from our Google Plus group. If you want to be on the show, if you've got a project that you would like us to dive into, just join the know-it-alls. Where do they do that, Brian?
Well, you can actually go to gplus.to/twitkh, and that'll take you to the Google Plus community, or if you're just on Google Plus, search for know-how, and you'll see the image.
Yeah. Over almost 10,000 people, and I got to tell you, it is the most active community we have at Twit TV. Join up. Be part of the geekitude. Also, if you want to know what's going on each week, not just in know-how, but also in the lives of the folks who make this show possible, you go to Twitter. You can find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. Go ahead and follow me, and you'll see what I do on the beach when I'm not playing with tech.
That's right. Yeah, you seem to have a lot of fun there. But you can follow me at @cranky_hippo, and you'll find... I was playing with a 3D printer while you were gone.
Yeah.
So we have a MakerBot in the back room that I've been playing
with.
I mean... Well, not anymore.
It's gone now.
It's still there.
No.
Oh, it's gone. And now it's gone.
It's in my car. Sorry. Also, don't forget, you can follow our director. He's a good man. Irwin?
If we could remember.
Irwin. Follow Irwin.
There's his shot.
Wow. Okay, thanks, Irwin. You can follow Irwin at twitter.com/anel3. A-N-E-L.
Excuse me, Padre.
Yes?
That's pronounced Alex.
See, these crazy pronunciations. I don't get it,
Brian. I've never actually seen his face.
Millennials.
He's like over there somewhere.
He's like in the dark
zone. Yeah, you see the movement,
That guy.
Yeah. Boop. Squish his head.
All right, all right. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballow, sir.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
go build it. Brah. Toss it off the table.